Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to be here today, enjoying all the sounds of life, and it's great. Little babies is wonderful. What a blessing. It's good. Hallelujah. I'm going to speak today about the Good Shepherd, a familiar theme, maybe from a different passage of Scripture than what you're thinking of, but there are seven I Ams in the Gospel of John. And the fifth one, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." And that's the one I want to talk about today. We need shepherds in our lives. And in Ezekiel chapter 34, which is where we're going to go, the Lord gave Ezekiel a word about shepherds, about bad shepherds and about a good shepherd. And so I'd like to look there this morning. If we could turn to Ezekiel chapter 34. And in this passage, it starts in verse 11, but there are 20 times in about 10 verses that God said, "I will, I will, I will." This is the kind of shepherd that I am. I will. And we're going to look through at some of those verses. And it's incredible. It's amazing the things that God has done for us. I think it's wonderful. And when we think of God being a shepherd, we also have to think of ourselves being sheep, don't we? And that's maybe not the best thing to think of yourself as. We tend to sort of despise sheep, don't we? We think of them as silly, and they are. I don't know if any of you have ever listened to Ken Davis's kind of a sketch he does about sheep, but it's really good. It's really funny, humorous, because sheep are kind of dumb animals, aren't they? I mean, they get scared easily. They're kind of a little bit ragged around the edges. They don't learn things very easily. And over again, the Lord calls us His sheep. I wonder why. I wonder why. But praise God, we have a good shepherd. And that's what I really want to focus on this morning. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are so good. Lord, I want to thank You for Your presence here this morning. Lord, that Your word absolutely promises us, Lord, that where two or three are gathered, then You are there. And Lord, You're not there on the edge, but You very specifically said, "I am there in the midst." And Lord, we pray as we look into Your word that You who are in the midst of us would be lifted high. And as You are lifted high, Lord, that our gaze would fix firmly upon You. And Father, as the eyes of our heart look at Your Son Jesus, that we would find in our spirits encouragement, that we would find strength for the journey. Lord, that we would find our hearts being lifted up, Lord. Lord, we need You this morning. Lord, as we've sung, as we've heard, Lord, we want You. Lord, we don't just want ordinary things, Lord. We want You, Lord. Lord, we don't want religion. We don't want just a few nice little verses to make us feel a bit better. But God, we pray this morning that You would come and minister to us by Your Holy Spirit. Oh God, we look to You. We pray, Lord Jesus, that You would be pleased to come and work in me and through me and to us all this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to jump in at verse 11. We're going to read through to verse 16. And there are three things that I'd like to emphasize. As I said, there's about 20 things that God says, "I will, I will, I will." And we'll look at a few of them, but there are three main things I'd like to talk about. Firstly, I'd like to talk about the shepherd that is seeking and searching. The second thing I'd like to talk about is the shepherd that is saving. And the third thing I'd like to talk about is the shepherd that is sending. Okay, so the three things. Firstly, searching and seeking. Secondly, saving. And thirdly, sending. Okay, and we'll see how far we get. All right, so the first one in verse, we'll read through the passage and then we'll go back to verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, behold, and sorry to stop already, but I want to just, as we read through, just kind of make a mental note of all the times you see God say, I will. Okay? This is the inductive Bible study that I've really been enjoying, looking for repeated things. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep, and I will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and a gloomy day. I love that. Isn't that wonderful? And a cloudy and a gloomy day. And I will bring them out from the peoples, and I will gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the streams and in all the inhabited places of the land. And I will feed them in a good pasture, and their grazing ground will be the mountain heights of Israel. There they will lie down in good grazing ground, and they will feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the scattered, and bind up the broken, and strengthen the sick. But the fat and the strong I will destroy, and I will feed them with judgment. And then we're gonna just jump down to verse 23 through 26. Then I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will feed them. And he will feed them himself. Isn't that wonderful? He will feed them himself. And he will be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. And I will make a covenant of peace with them. And I will eliminate harmful beasts from the land, so that they may live securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places around my hill a blessing. And I will cause showers to come down in their season. They will be showers of blessing. And there's one more I will, and it's in verse 29. And I will establish for them a renowned planting place, and they will not again be victims of famine in the land. They will not endure the insults of the nations anymore. So there's over 20 things that God says, I will feed you. I will seek you. I will search for you. I will care for you. I will deliver you. I will make a covenant with you. I will establish you. I will bind you up. I will save you. Incredible promises that only God could make. And I think it's amazing, isn't it, that all of these things, God's saying, listen, I am going to do this. I will. He's not saying, I might. Say, no, I will. I'm making a covenant promise that I am going to do this in your life. I am the good shepherd who will do these things. Now, we might not always feel like it. We might not always understand it. But we can trust that God is who He says He is. And He will do the things that He says He will do. Because we know that God cannot lie, can He? If God were a liar, we wouldn't be here. The universe would spin out of control. We wouldn't be here. God is not a man that he should lie. I will do all of these things. And I was thinking, well, you know, maybe this is just to the Hebrews. Maybe it's just to God's people. Because you know that this prophecy had a very specific interpretation at the time. But if we think about what it says in 1 Corinthians, it says that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So these promises are to us who are in Christ Jesus. These are our promises. These are things that we can stake our life upon, that God is going to do these things in our lives. Let's look at the first thing, verse 11. Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. And I think this is a beautiful picture. The first thing is that the Good Shepherd is searching and seeking. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it says, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Jesus is seeking to save the lost. His heart is for the broken, the poor, and the needy. I don't know about you, but I love that thought. I love the thought that God's eyes range to and fro throughout the earth, seeking to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. That's 2 Chronicles 9:16. That somehow the God of the universe, who created everything that we can see and know, in fact, in Acts chapter 17 it says, doesn't it, that the whole universe is in Him. You know, that we don't know, do we, how big the universe is. But if we thought of the universe as a sheet of paper, and somewhere we're there, just as a micro dot, planet Earth, an even smaller micro dot, people. And yet, God says that in Him, we live and move and have our being. So if we think the universe is big, God is even bigger. Because the universe is in Him, right? And we can think of this incredible creating God who knows everything, who sees everybody, knows the beginning from the end. And yet, this verse is telling us that He's searching and seeking for His sheep. I think that's wonderful, isn't it? That's the heart of God, isn't it? And I believe that every human being is precious in the sight of God. And that every human being has been paid for on the cross. It says in 1 John chapter 2 that He is the propitiation for the sins of the whole earth, the whole world. And so here we have this picture of a God who so loves the world that He gave His Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I think that's absolutely incredible, that God is searching and seeking for His sheep. I think that's wonderful. And He's faithful, isn't He? Does He know where His sheep are? Amen. He knows everything. We could think about there's three parables. We won't turn there, but in Luke chapter 15, they're very familiar. Three parables, aren't there? The first parable, the parable of the good shepherd, who leaves the 99 and goes out to find the one that's fallen into the cliff. He goes out to seek and save that one that was lost and brings it home. And it says, doesn't it, there's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 righteous ones. The second parable is a story about a woman who has lost her coins in a house. And she's sweeping and cleaning the house so she can find the lost coins. I think that's wonderful, isn't it? And we could think of it in about Miniota or Marshall. God sweeping, looking to see who He can save, looking to see whose hearts are hungry and thirsty for truth. And then the third parable that we all know so well, the parable of the lost son, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. The parable of the prodigal father, whose love for his rebellious son knew no bounds. The father watching and waiting on the road as the son returned from squandering all of his fortune. That picture of a father running to his filthy son, living amongst pigs, eating pig food, which for a Jew was about the worst thing you could possibly do, wasn't it? And that picture of the father running to his son. And before the son could even get out his well rehearsed speech, the father embraces him and loves him and kisses him and welcomes him back into his household. That's the kind of God we love and serve, isn't it? The Good Shepherd, searching and seeking his lost sheep. I think that's wonderful. Now I look at my life and I think, God, without you, where would we be? I mean, think for a moment of the propensities of our lives, the sins that we were dabbling with, the things we would think about and contemplate. And God, knowing all of that, knowing our weakness, our frailty, God, knowing all of that, seeking and searching for us. It's quite remarkable, isn't it? It's quite breathtaking when we think of this kind of love, this kind of shepherd that was willing to lay down his life for the sheep. I think it's amazing. It's wonderful, isn't it? God is a searching and a seeking God. Hallelujah. The second thing is that God is a saving God. A shepherd that can save. Let's jump forward a little bit to verse 16. I mean, there's so much here, but we can we'll kind of just jump around a bit. Verse 16, it says, I will seek the lost. We're going to pick on the verbs here. I will bring back the scattered. I will bind up the broken. I will strengthen the sick. These are the things that God is going to do. If we go back to verse 12, it says, I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and a gloomy day. Maybe you're having a cloudy and a gloomy day. Maybe it's been a cloudy and gloomy month or a cloudy and gloomy year. But this shepherd can find you on a cloudy and a gloomy day. Amen? Amen? Isn't that good? That God isn't put off by circumstances and situations. He's not worried about where we are, because He can find us. Even if we're scattered, even if we're struggling on a cloudy and a gloomy day. Verse 13, I'm going to bring them out from peoples and gather them from countries. I'm going to feed them on the mountains of Israel by the streams and in all the inhabited places of the land. I will feed them in good pasture. And their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. And there they will lie in good grazing ground, and they will feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. Isn't that wonderful? I believe if we think about it in a new covenant sense, that God is saying, I'm going to feed you. How does He feed us? Through His Word. Through His presence. Through His commitment to us to never leave us or forsake us. I'm going to save you. In Hebrews chapter 7 it says, I'll save you to the uttermost. Because He ever lives to intercede for us. That He who begins a work, He finishes it. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the one who starts the work in us. He's the one who continues the work in us. And He's the one who will finish the work in us. He's a saving shepherd. He's the saving God. Let's take a look at John chapter 10. And I was amazed. I should have known this, but as I was reading through, I was amazed how similar these two passages were, which shouldn't really be surprising, but it was really interesting because in John chapter 10, where Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," it starts in verse 11. It says, "I alone am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them." We know that speaks of Satan, doesn't it? "And he flees because he is a hireling and is not concerned about the sheep." Verse 14, "But I alone am the good shepherd, and I know by experience my own, and my own know me by experience. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, on behalf of and instead of the sheep. And I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father." And let's jump down to verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give life eternal to them, and they shall never, no, never, never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one in essence." Isn't that wonderful? That the good shepherd is a saving shepherd. And it says there that he's laid his life down for his sheep. He died for us on that cross and rose again that we could share in his life. And it says no one, he says no one will be able to snatch them out of my hand. So that's one hand that has us gripped. And then it says, and no one will be able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. So we're doubly held, once by the Son and once by the Father. And no one will snatch us out of His hand. Isn't that wonderful? No situation, no person, things past, things present, things to come, nothing can separate us from the love of God which is towards us in Christ Jesus. He's a saving shepherd. Amen. The third thing I'd like to talk about is that he's a sending shepherd. Let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 34. And we're going to go down to verse 26. Verse 25 is to do with the things that he's going to save us from, harmful beasts. We can live securely in the wilderness. We can live in a wilderness securely because God's going to provide for us. And then in verse 26, this idea that God has searched for us, he's saved us, and now he sends us. In verse 26, it says this, "I will make them and the places around my hill a blessing." God wants to make us a blessing. He wants to use us to make His name known in all the earth. And then we're not just saved to be kind of part of a little holy flock, a holy huddle, but God has saved us to serve. He saved us so He can send us. Let's think about some of these things in this verse. It says, I will make them, that's us, and the places around my hill a blessing. Now, we could think of the hill as Calvary, pointing towards the cross, but I will make them a blessing. We could think of the promise that was to Abraham, wasn't it? It wasn't just that God was going to bless him, but he says, through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And I believe that one of the wonderful things about the gospel is that God wants us to take it and bless other people. We're not supposed to just kind of polish up our armor or keep it to ourselves, but God's whole heart is that we would be a blessing to those around us. And if we think of Bethel Fellowship Church being kind of like part of the great flock of God, which is all the way around the world, but we're kind of a little flock out on the prairie. And God says, look, I've searched for you. I've saved you. I've called you with a holy calling. Now I want to send you out. I want to send you out to the people around you, to your neighbors, to your friends. I want to send you out into the uttermost parts of the earth. We were praying one morning this week and asking God, would you send out some missionaries from Bethel Fellowship Church? Will you raise up men and women who are willing to go out and serve to the uttermost parts of the earth? Because that's God's heart, isn't it? If we think about the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, it says, doesn't it, go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I've commanded. That God wants us not just to be a little flock thinking about ourselves, but God wants us to be a blessing. And I believe it's why things like the kids' carnival, the Valentine's banquet, the Thanksgiving banquet, vacation, Bible school, these things are so important. Even yesterday, we had the room was just filled. The building was filled with hundreds of people coming in for I'm not sure what it was, some kind of sale. But we want to be a blessing. And the organizer said, thank you. Thank you for being a blessing. Thank you for not charging us. Thank you for being gracious hosts. I think that's wonderful. We want to be a blessing, and we do it all in the name of Jesus. Remember what Jesus said, even if you just give a cup of water in my name, your reward will be in heaven. Even just a cup of water, we can bless one another, but we can bless people in our communities, our neighbors and friends and people around that we might run into. And I think that's what God really delights in. It is not just searching, not just saving, but sending. In Luke 15, it says that all of heaven rejoices when one sinner repents. That's incredible, isn't it? That's the kind of heart that God has. His heart to save people. It's incredible. And He gives us the same commission, the same calling. We should be a people who are going out blessing others, helping them, serving them, loving them, all done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not for any kind of temporary benefit or advantage, but all for His glory. That His name will be lifted high. That His name will be glorified. That His name would be made famous on the earth. And then let's go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. There's some good things in that chapter 34. If you get a chance to read it, I'd encourage you to do so. There's a lot that I've skipped over and missed. But I just wanted to kind of pull out those three things, but there's a lot more in there. But if we go to Hebrews chapter 13, we're going to close with this, verse 20 and 21. Says this, now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep. Isn't that wonderful that the great shepherd of the sheep laid down his life for the sheep, but God raised him up from the dead. The death could not hold him. Sin could not hold him. Satan could not hold him. It says in Colossians chapter 2 that all the powers of hell were arrayed against him. He triumphed over all of them through him. Isn't that wonderful that God has vanquished all of his enemies? He's the victor. He's the one who triumphed. And he gives that same victory to us, his people. He leads us in that victory. The God of peace. In John chapter 16:33, it says, doesn't it? It's a very well-known verse that we're to take courage. In this world you will have trouble, afflictions, tribulation. But take courage, for I have gained a surpassing victory over the world. Jesus is the victor. Every demon in hell, every power of Satan, every rebellious heart and hard heart is submitted to Jesus Christ. And even if we don't see all things yet under his feet, we know that there's coming a day when he will bring all things under his authority. When he bursts through the clouds on that day, every lying spirit, every rebellious, deceiving heart will be submitted to Jesus Christ. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And you might raise your fist and shake it at God and think it's all just a big game and waste of time. But I'm telling you that Jesus Christ is the Lord. That he is the victor. And he is coming back again. You might think, oh, it's just a story. But it isn't just a story. He's coming back again. And he's going to set things right. And every deception is going to be exposed. Every lying opposition to the gospel is going to be thoroughly vanquished. And Jesus is going to set his rule and reign on the earth. And there's going to be nowhere to hide. You might think it's all just a big game and it's all just a big fun. But it isn't. Jesus is real and he's coming back again. He's the good shepherd. But he's coming back again as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And we have to be ready. We have to be ready. Jesus is coming back again. This is his time of grace when he's seeking and searching. This is the season where he's saving and sending. And I want to urge you to be ready. Be ready. Be ready. Jesus has done everything that we need. Everything that we need. There's coming a day when there will be no more time and the books will be opened. The names will be read. And those whose names are in the book of life will be ushered into eternal paradise. And those whose names are not found there will be thrown into the lake of fire forever and ever. That's a terrible thing to say. It's a dreadful thing, isn't it, that that day is coming. And I don't say it lightly. I say it in all earnestness. Make things right with the good shepherd while you have time. Make things right with him because he is searching for you. He loves you. He's done everything he can do to save you. You have to submit to him and follow him. Be a sheep. Not a rebellious sheep, but an obedient sheep following the good shepherd. Let's finish up this verse. Who brought from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, who through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, may he equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. The Lord's working in us. We're not finished. He's working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, and he's equipping us to do those good things that he has for us to do. Equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Everything is for His glory. Amen. To whom be the glory forever and ever. So that all we do, all the good works we do, if it's just letting the building be used, if it's sharing the gospel, if it's giving out tracts or giving away a meal, everything we do, all glorifies the name of Jesus. That's what we were here for. It's what we were made for. That's what the Father was seeking us for. It's what He's saving us for. That we could glorify the name of Jesus and make His name famous on the earth. I hope you're ready to do that. I hope you're part of God's flock. That's great, isn't it? It's good to be part of His flock. He's a good shepherd. Let's close. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your love. We thank You for Your word. Lord, we believe that Your word is powerful and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword. Father, we ask You, Lord, to move in our hearts. Move in our homes, Lord. Move in our marriages. Lord, move in our children's lives. Move, Lord, in our towns, and the places where we work. Lord, it says in that verse that You send us out to be a blessing. Lord, we want to be a blessing to Marshall, to Mineota, to those in Canby. We want to be a blessing, Lord, to our children. We want to be a blessing, Lord, to our spouses and our friends. Father, we pray that You would equip us with all that we need to live lives that glorify Jesus Christ. Lord, that's what we want more than anything else. Lord, is to live lives that are pleasing to God in Christ Jesus. Lord, we ask You to bless the Valentine's banquet coming up. Lord, no, the Thanksgiving banquet coming up, Lord. We pray that You would just cause it to be the means of blessing to many hearts and many lives, Lord. Lord, it's just a little thing. Lord, it's just a meal. But Lord, we pray that it would show and shine Your love to people who don't know about You. Lord, we ask You to bless the labors of the church, Lord, the lots of different ministries and different organizations and different things that we're part of, Lord. We want to be fruitful, Lord. We want to be a blessing to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.